أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the perpetuality or eternity of Islam. Contrary to the rest of the divinely revealed religions, Islam is a perpetual and an everlasting religion. It would remain valid forever. It is an everlasting religion. The religion of Islam is not subject to expiration. It would never, ever expire. The validity, the authenticity, and the reliability of Islam is not subject to change and subject to alteration. It would remain forever as a valid and formal religion of Almighty Allah. You know that in the previous lecture we talked about the universality of the religion of Islam, that not only the Muslims, but also the rest of the human beings, they should all give positive response to the call made by Islam. They should all embrace wholeheartedly the message of Islam. It is the only valid and formal religion that would be accepted in the doomsday and the resurrection day. Almighty Allah says, in another verse of the Holy Quran, that وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, it means whosoever chooses or accepts a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. And in the life hereafter, he would be resurrected as a loser. In order to avoid losing the aftermath, we have to discern and we have to recognize the formal and valid religion of Almighty Allah, and then we have to comply with its does and don'ts, so that we should not be resurrected as losing people. So today, God willing, we are going to put forth the reasons that stand behind this claim. The first important reason that stands on validity of Islam till the doomsday, till the resurrection day, that is the consensus amongst all the Muslims. The eternity or perpetuality of the religion of Islam is a matter of consensus amongst all the Muslims, making no difference in which faction or in which clique or religious school of thought they refer or they are related to. It is of those axioms of faith, it is one of those pillars of faith, according to many of the Muslim factions, that Islam is not subject to change. Islam is not subject to expiration. You know, nowadays, every now and then, new versions of the softwares or the apps are presented by the developers so that it should be user-friendly, it should be accommodating the needs and necessities of the users. For example, when a company, when a firm starts its activity, it starts with developing an idea, making it in the form of a software or an app. So gradually, with the passage of time, it starts to produce its trial version. After that, they start to produce their pro version or the real version. So Islam is not having this status that another latest or most update version of Islam should be put forth for the human beings. There is no need of that. Why? Because of those reasons that we brought for comprehensiveness of Islam. We did say in the previous lectures of ours that Islam is the most complete and thorough religion that Almighty Allah has ever sent for the human beings. If it is the most complete, if it is the most perfect version, then there is no need that another version of Islam should come and another prophet should be sent for the human beings' guidance. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Almighty Allah says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. It is He who has sent His apostle with guidance and with true religion. ليظهره على الدين كله, so that it prevail over all religions. ولو كره المشركون, even though the polytheists hate this issue. So, dear listeners and respectable audience, the most important reason behind the eternity or perpetuality of the religion of Islam is that it is a matter of consensus amongst all the Muslims. No faction has ever disagreed this consensus. No faction of the Muslim people believe that another religion after Islam would come. Another religion would come after Islam. No, this is what Almighty Allah has declared in His Holy Quran, that Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household is the seal of prophets. Afterward, there will be no other religion, there will be no other prophet. So it remains a valid and formal religion till the doomsday. The second reason is the seal of prophecy. As we said in the previous lectures, that our holy prophet possesses a unique characteristics, that no other prophet has enjoyed this characteristic, and that is that he is the seal of prophets. With him, the door of prophethood has been closed. There is no other one who has to be crowned with this rubric or with this very important characteristic. Almighty Allah's final and last messenger is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So those arguments which we brought for the seal of prophecy, they will also be helpful in establishing or in proving the concept of the eternity of religion of Islam. The third important reason that stands on eternity of Islam, that is the Quranic verses. The verses of the Holy Quran give us these messages that the content of the Holy Quran would remain forever. It is not subject to conditions. It is not subject to certain time or specific people. It is not subject to certain time, period, or particular groups of people. It is for always, and it is for eternity. It is an everlasting formal religion. So you know that if one's words have been produced, if one's word has been produced without any condition, it means that it would remain forever. It is something that you have to do for always. The fourth important reason that demonstrate and that prove our claim that Islam is the final and eternal religion, that is the traditions that we have received from the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household. Numerous traditions are available in our traditional books that convey this message that says, حلال محمد حلال إلى يوم القيامة وحرامه حرام إلى يوم القيامة. What was made lawful and legal by Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, it would remain lawful and legal till the doomsday. And whatever he has prohibited, he has prevented, he has forbidden, that would remain a forbidden task or a forbidden action till the doomsday. It means no other version will come so that it should abrogate, it should change the lawful to unlawful or make unlawful lawful. It is a fact that what has been made legal and lawful by the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household, it would remain a legal action, a legal fact till the doomsday. And what he has made unlawful, it would remain unlawful and illegal till the doomsday. So it means that the final formal religion of Almighty Allah is Islam, and the concepts or the teachings it contain, it will remain valid teachings till the doomsday. No other religion will come to abrogate these teachings and instructions. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, there are some two important problems. There are some two important questions that might click your mind. That how do you say that Islam is an eternal religion? Firstly, it is not a universal religion. Rather, it is a religion that has been assigned to particular Arabs. And those who were living around Mecca and Medina. It is not a universal religion. And they bring this verse of the Holy Quran as evidence that this holy verse of the Quran convey their message or make or boosts them in their claim or boosts their position in their claim that Islam is not a universal religion. What is that verse of the Holy Quran? The verse of the Holy Quran is وَلِتُنذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. This Holy Quran has been revealed to you so that you have to warn. لِتُنذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ, it means the people of the Mecca. وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا, in those who are residents of the Mecca and around Mecca. The people who reside in Mecca and around Mecca, they have to be warned. They say that this verse of the Holy Quran explicitly states that Islam is not a universal religion. In response to this doubt and problem, it should be mentioned that every religion has different states of, we can say, promulgation. Almighty Allah has said that, firstly, you have to invite the people in Mecca and around Mecca to your religion. As there is a verse that Almighty Allah says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. It means that, firstly, you have to warn your family members. Unless you could not convince your own people, the people of your own house, your relatives. So firstly, you have to put your effects on family members' scale, and then it will develop. What matters most in this verse of the Holy Quran is that religion has different stages. On the first stage, yes, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was responsible to invite and to warn his own family members. And then the people who resided in Mecca, and then the people who resided around Mecca. But after that, Almighty Allah had not said that you have to limit and you have to stop inviting the people towards the truth. No, Almighty Allah says you have to go, you have to spread this message, and it should be promulgated amongst all the people. All the people should enjoy this truth and should enjoy the invitation made by the Holy Quran. Abstractly talking, the response is that the religion has different stages. On the first stage, yes, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was responsible to invite the relatives and those who were around and in Mecca. But later on, he was responsible to convey this message for all the empires and for all the people, for all the tribal leaders, for all those who were living at that era. Another important doubt that has been raised goes to the eternity of religion of Islam. The previous doubt and its response was related to the universality of the religion of Islam. So the second doubt goes to the eternity or to the everlasting character of Islam or to the everlasting nature of Islamic instructions. They pose the problem like this, that how is it true that Islam should be in harmony with all the human beings' different cultural, economical, social, religious necessities and needs? How is it possible that the Islamic immutable teachings and instructions should be in harmony with those changing needs and necessities of the human beings? According to them, every law or every regulation should change concurrent to the changes of the human's needs. In response to this doubt, it is possible to be said that Islam is not only consist of immutable laws, regulations, and teachings, but also Islam is inclusive of those changing and variable teachings and laws. In another word, Islam not only pays heed to the immutable necessities of the human beings, but also Islam pays extreme reverence and heed to those variable and changing needs and necessities of the human being. Islam is not only consist of unchangeable or fixed or immutable teachings, but also Islam includes some variable and changing laws and regulations. Why Islam includes these two formats and these two types of teachings to suit the human being's immutable and changeable needs and necessities? This is the response that can be given to the second doubt. Once again, abstractly, I have to reiterate so that it should be fully understood by our dear and respectable listeners and audience. The abstract content of the second doubt is this, that how is it possible that an immutable religion by the name of Islam should suit the variable needs and necessities of the human beings? Leaving aside the different aspects, the different dimensions of the human beings, how is it possible? So in response to this doubt, we say that Islam not only pays heed to the changeable and variable needs of the human beings, but also Islam pays heed to those unchanging or immutable needs and necessities of the human beings. Another important element is also there available in Islam, and that is the concept of ijtihad, or scientific struggle. It means that the Muslims are made responsible, that a group of them should specifically embark on sciences. A group of the people should be responsible to invest all their lives on searching and deriving the religious laws and regulations from the traditional sources. وَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ. So this verse of the Holy Quran explicitly gives this message that a group of the people should be made responsible. For what? To seek knowledge and derive and infer religious laws and regulations from the traditional available sources they have. One of them is the Holy Quran. Another is the way of life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, which is called Sunnah. Another is intellect. So, a man of knowledge, a man who has mastered in deriving religious laws, he is called mujtahid. He is called a religious authority, for he is able to deduce laws, regulations from the sources available for him. The sources are the Holy Quran, the prophetic traditions in Sunnah, and the third is the intellect. And some of the Muslim factions have also agreed upon consensus. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, briefly talking, Islam has immutable principles. Islam has also some changing, intangible, we can say, principles. Those immutable principles are to meet the immutable needs and necessities of the human beings. And those variable principles are to meet the changing needs and requirements of the human beings. There is not any deadlock that a Muslim should face in this respect. So the most important duty of a mujtahid is to harmonize between those variable and unchangeable or immutable needs and requirements of the human beings. He has to fully study those principles, and then he has to specifically find the new extensions or masadiq of those rulings which we have or which the Muslims had in the previous generations. So the new laws and regulations will be formulated, will be formed in this manner. So there is not any deadlock that the Muslims should face while facing new challenges in the modern life. Every question can be answered through taking recourse to those variable and immutable principles of Islam and its life-giving teachings. Finally, there is an important point that should be mentioned, dear listeners, that some of the people might say, so what about right now that there are many religions? What we have to do with this religious pluralism? You know that religious pluralism means that every religion is enjoying certain truth. And there is not a single religion that should enjoy the truth in a monopoly way, in a particular way, that no other religions should have this truth. Religious pluralism means that every religion is right. Even today, if a Christian is Christian, he is right in his religion. But according to the concept of eternity of Islam, the rest of the people should search and should seek the truth. Because according to these verses that we have recited for you, dear listeners, no other religion except Islam is valid in the sight of Almighty Allah. So what others should do? They have to seek and they have to seek the truth, they have to search about the religion of Islam. If they could find the truth, so they have to embrace it wholeheartedly. But it cannot be a pretext, a pretense in the doomsday that I remained as a Christian or as a Jew because my forefathers were Jew or my forefathers were Christian. No, Almighty Allah says, I have sent you the last religion. All were responsible to embrace my final word. So, it means that they have to find scientific and scholarly arguments for themselves. It makes no difference. You are a Jew, Christian, or whatever religion you have chosen right now. But the most important point is that you have to be convinced that you have chosen the rightest religion. Otherwise, a very, very dangerous aftermath will be waiting for you. May God bless us all that He has to give us the righteous guidance and resurrect us with His final messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him and his household. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.